Today's shir is Masechta Baba Basra, Daf Kuf Ayin Vav, as we have the schus to be Masayim Masechta Baba Basra. We begin on Daf Kuf Ayin Hey Amin Beis, 12 lines from the bottom. The Gemara discusses, as we did in the end of our previous shir, what is the halacha about Shibud Deraisa? Is somebody who has a loan, do we have a right to go after any assets that didn't arise or not? Says the Gemara, Rav Shmuel Amri Tavayu, they both taught us, Nova Peh, any Gavin Loimin Ayarshim, if somebody leaves over a Milva Peh, we don't go after the Yarshim, Loimin Al Kuchis, not from anybody who had bought assets from that Loiva, my Tama. And the reason is, Shibud Alav Deraisa. The Loch is that Shibud Alav Deraisa. And since Shibud Alav Deraisa, we don't have a right to go after those assets. Rabbi Yochanan Shim Melakish Tamer Tavayu Milva Peh Goyve Beimen Ayarshim or Beimen El Kuchis. We do have a right to go after those assets. My Tama, because their opinion is the Shibuda Deraisa. So of course the Rishonim all ask that our Mishnah said explicitly that if somebody only has a milva peh, even if they're a edim, the Mishnah says you can't go after nechasim shabadim. What are we going to do with our Mishnah? So some Mishnayim say that that Rabbi Yochanan and Rish Lakish actually their gears of our Mishnah is goyve min ayarshiv ena goyve min al kuchis goyve min ayarshiv because shibuda deraisa. But in a Goyve Milakuchis, there's a special rule that Chazal instituted that we don't go after the Lakuchis because we're concerned about the welfare of the Lakuchis. The Rishash answers this question. The Rish Lakish and Rabbi Yochanan are telling us that what is the din deraisa? That you can really go after everybody because Shibuda deraisa. When the Mishnah says differently, it's because there was a takanas chachamim that we can't go after lekuchis, and even Rabbi Yochanan and Rish Lakish will agree to that takanas chachamim when it's not a milva b'shtar. But when Rabbi Yochanan and Rish Lakish are saying in our shir that we go after the that shibuda deraisa, that is the din midaraisa. Meisvei asked the Gemara on the opinion of Rav and Shmuel who hold Shibuda Lav Deraisa. The halacha is that if an animal kills a person, he's Chayiv Skila. And if he's a Muad, then they also have to pay Koifer the value of that person who was killed. And as the Chazanish points out, that even though the animal is always going to be killed, an animal that's involved in killing a person will always be killed. The halacha we're about to learn in the shir has nothing to do with that. So the Braisa says, "Achayfa barbrishus rabim." Somebody digs a barbrishus rabim, v'nafal ashar, and a shar falls on this person who's digging the bar of a hargai, and he kills the person. Potter, the shar is potter from skila, because the person by digging that bar brought this on himself. Furthermore, Shemes Hashar, that the Shar dies. And as I said, according to Chazanish, it's not only if the Shar happened to have died as it was doing this, but the way the Chazanish says that even if we, as the halacha would so require, because this animal caused the person to die, when the animal dies, Yarsha Balabar, the people who are the Yarshim of the person who dug that bar, Achayavim L'Shalom, the Meir Shalabalov, have to pay the value of that animal. Now, ask the Gemara, if Shibudas Lav Deraisa, so why would they, Yorshim, have to pay that money? So the Rishonim ask, well, why couldn't the Gemara say that since the obligation to pay for these damages is something that the Torah mandates, so we'll learn that anything, milva ksuva b'toira, any obligation which is stated in the Torah has the same halacha as a milvah b'shtar. And therefore, even if we hold that shibuda lav deraisa, this should be considered as a strong obligation because it's a Torah-mandated obligation. So some Rishonim actually suggest that the Gemara could have given that teretz. When we speak about a chiyuv which comes midaraisa, which the chiyuv chavolus is midaraisa, that is that there is a chiyuv that we do say shibuda deraisa, but the Gemara says another teretz. Some Rishonim, however, suggest that we don't say that, and they suggest that even if we hold shibuda lav deraisa, it doesn't make a difference, even if it's mandated, if it's a chiyuv that's mandated from the Torah. Amar Rebeloi Amar Rav, the way we'll understand the Braisa is Kishamad Bedin. There was already Din Torah, and the person who dug the bar was already found guilty to pay. Ask the Gemara, but how could have that have been? For Haraga Ketani, the Mishnah says that person, the Braisa just said, that person was killed. Answers the Gemara, killed doesn't mean that he actually died. Says the Gemara, Amar of Adabar Hava, she'asa treifa. He became a treifa. A person who's a treifa, or an animal that becomes a treifa, is indeed going to die, but he hasn't died yet. Says the Gemara of Amar of Nachman, Tani Tana, the Braisa says, shemes, that the Braisa is speaking about the case that this person died, ukavroi, and the animal was on top of him. Says the Gemara, we have to explain. Hasam de yasvi daina puma de beira. The dayanim are sitting right at the bar and chayuvoi, and they obligate him to pay for this damage that he did before he passed away. And the Ritva says, based on this Gemara, that we said that the Gemara said that if he became a treifa, and since he became a treifa, that's he's not dead yet. And that's how we were able to do a din Torah. Ask the Ritva, but if he's a treifa and we weren't able to do the din Torah, how were we able to do the din Torah? He's so very sick. How could he come to Beis Din? Says the Ritva, from here we learn a halacha that if somebody is unable to come to Beis Din because he's a treifa, because he's sick, so indeed he can't come to Beis Din, but he's obligated to appoint, if he's still alive, he's obligated to appoint somebody to come to Beis Din and be there in his place. Amar Papa Hilchasa says, Papa, what is the halacha? Milva peh. When we have a milva peh, goyve min a yarshim, we do collect that obligation from the yarshim. Veina goyve mil kuchos, we don't collect from the kuchos. Obviously, the Gemara is paskening like Rav and Shmuel. And the Gemara explains the reason. The Gemara explains the reason for this psak. Says the Gemara, "Goyvim in a yarshim k'dei shloi ten al dalz b'fnei lovin." If when you will lend money to somebody, and if the person to whom you lent money will pass away, you won't be able to go after his yarshim. Nobody's going to ever want to lend money. But ain't a goyvim melakuchis, because if it's a milva al peh, so it's not well known. And as we've explained in our shiur many times, lekuchas can only be held responsible. They could only be held responsible in a case where they knew what they're buying had this issue, had a mortgage on it. But if they don't know that it has a mortgage on it, they can't be held responsible. And therefore, if it's a milvah peh, it doesn't have a call, it doesn't have that publicity. And since it doesn't have the publicity, we can't held them responsible. Now the question is, now the Gemara just told us that the Yarshim are held responsible. And the Rishonim debate, to what degree are the Yarshim held responsible? Some Rishonim suggest that the Yarshim are held responsible even on metaltlin that they have from their father are mortgaged to the loan. And some Rishonim, that's the opinion that Rashi says only the karka is mortgaged, not metaltlin. Other Rishonim say that anything that they inherited from the father, even metaltlin, is mortgaged to the loan. We learned further in our Mishnah. If somebody produced somebody's own obligation, that is chayv to somebody, we could collect from Bnei Chayrim based on such a document. Asked the Gemara, Rabbi ben Nosson Rabbi Yochanan, the following question was asked. Huchsuk Sav Yodah Bebezdan, that the loiva admitted that this is his document. Mai, what is the din in such a case? Do we go after the Mishabodim or not? Do we say, as we just finished learning, that when there's a shtar with Edim, the Malva has a right to go after Mishabodim? Here too, where you have the loiva's handwriting, that and there's a kiyum attached to it, that's a proof that we should go after, that's enough that we should be able to go after the Lekuchas, or not, we can't go after the Lekuchas or not. Amalei, so Rabbi Yochanan responded, Af b'shochus k'sav yodah b'bezdin, even though somebody, there were, this document, this IOU, has kiyum, and a guy ve'el menachos menachayrim, we could only go after menachos menachayrim. Ask the Gemara, Moshe Rabbi Bar Chama, the Mishnah Masech, the Gittin, that Peivav Amanal teaches us, Shloish Gittin, the following Gittin, Apsulim Midrabonon. However, and therefore, a woman should not get remarried on the basis of one of these types of Gittin. But if she did get married on the basis of this type of a get, Emnisis, if she did get married on the basis of this type of get, Havlat Kosher, that marriage, she's not considered a Nashus Ish, and therefore the child that would be born from that second marriage is a kosher child. Ve'elahin, what type of get are we speaking about? K'sab k'sav yodai, if the husband wrote the get, then alav edim, and there are no edim. So here we have a situation where Chazal said that the get should have edim on it. Still, since there were, as we've been discussing so many times in our shurim, that there were Edim Masira, and the opinion is that Edim Masira Karti, that's enough to be a good get. So the question is, why, if Edim Masira Karti, why, and there were Edim Masira, why is there a question on this get? So some Rishonim explain, because that the Gemara is here speaking about even when there aren't Edim Masira, which is very difficult to understand. Others explain that even though Rabbi Lozer says Edim Asira Karti, Rabbi Lozer agrees that we should have Edim signed on the get, as we discussed the other day. And therefore, this get that doesn't have Edim signed on the get is Poslum Adrabonim. Yeshal of Edim, or there are Edim signed to this get. However, Ein Beizman, there's no date. Or Yesh Beizman, there's a date. Ein Bei Ela Eid Echad, but there's only one Eid. Hare elu shloish gitn psulim, they're all possible to be used l'chatchila. However, v'mnisis, if one got remarried based on the sket, the vlad kasha, if a woman got remarried based on the sket, the child is not a mamzer. Rabbi Lozo Omer, abish ein lov edim, even if there are no edim, elu shenotn lov b'fnei edim, was given from edim, kasha l'chatchila. Because this opinion holds edim asira is adequate l'chatchila. And furthermore, says Rebbe Lezer, that when you have a shtar that doesn't have Edim signed in it, goyvim nechasim mishabodim, we can even collect from mortgage property. And says the Gemara, ask the Gemara, if that's the case, where we have just a shtar written by the loiva, it's strong enough, just like a get that's written by the husband, certainly in a case where there's even kiyum to that document, it should be very strong. Yet here we're learning that you cannot go after nechasim shabadim. Answers the Gemara, Shani Hasam, the shtar that had Edim Masira, that Rabbi Elazar said you could go after nechasim shabadim, is different than our shtar. Why? The Mishas Ksivu D'Shabat Nafshei, somebody who gave a shtar, an IOU, and he gave it in front of Edim, what he meant to do by doing this, giving it in front of the Edim Masira, it's to make a strong shibud, it's to create a very strong obligation. And since it makes a strong obligation, you can go after Nechasim Mishabadim. So the Rishonim ask an obvious question, the Shach discusses it, that when we speak about going after Nechasim Mishabadim, when can you go after Nechasim Mishabadim, and when can't you go after Nechasim Mishabadim? We've always explained that something that has publicity, you could go after Nechasim Mishabadim, and something that doesn't have that kol, that doesn't have that publicity, you can't go after Nechasim Mishabadim. So what's the difference? What's the difference if Mishas Ksiva, who the Mishabed Nafshe, says the Tumim, to explain this Gemara, when we have a shtar that's being given in front of Edom, and the loiva wants to obligate himself, what that means is, says the Tumim, that he really wants to create a kol. And this is the way he's creating a kol. So as I understand what the Tumim means to say, is that there are different ways of creating a kol. And this is a new way of creating a kol. The Shach has a different approach to this Gemara. The Shach's approach to this Gemara is that when you're going to give a shtar like this in front of Edom Asira, it is the obligation of the Edom Asira to read what it says in the shtar. When it's the obligation of the Edom Asira to read what's in the shtar, once the Edom Asira read what's in the shtar, that makes it public. We learned earlier on Daf Kuf Samach Zayin, that when one writes a shtar, we're learning now there's a new way of writing an IOU. And that is, you just write an IOU, and like that, you become obligated to pay whatever it says in IOU. And you sign your name on the bottom, and we're going to speak soon if, and the halacha is, what happens if you didn't sign? But the bottom line is, because of that, Abaye taught us in that Gemara, that if you're going to just sign because you want to have your signature on file, You should sign on the top of the paper where there's no room for anything to be stated about somebody can insert who knows what. The Rif says that even though if somebody has this type of IOU, he can't say Lo Hayu Dvarim Ma'olam. He's not believed that this never happened, but he is believed to say Pirati, which is interesting because when we have a standard shtar signed by two Edom, the person, the loiva, could say that it's a ziyuf, and as we've learned so many times in our Masechta, if the loiva claims it's a ziyuf, what we have to do is be mekayim, certify the shtar, but the loiva cannot say parati, that I paid up the shtar. Here, however, by an IOU, he could say parati. And the Rosh explains that what makes an IOU different than a regular shtar, that by a regular shtar, the loiva cannot say parati, and here he can't say parati, is because there are no edim signed on the shtar. So ask the Rosh, if what I just said is the halacha, so then why are we so concerned? Why is Abaye so concerned that he should write his name on top? Because who knows what will be inserted. If that will happen, let the loiva just say parati. So, and that will be good enough. So the Rosh answers, if he would say parati, that would be a way for himself to protect himself. But we are concerned that when he's going to be presented this type of a document, and he knows and believes that he doesn't owe the money, what's going to be his natural instinct reaction? He's going to say Loi Levisi. And the rule is that Kol Oimer Loi Levisi, Kol Oimer Loi Parati. Once you say Loi Levisi, he can't say Loi Parati. The Sefer Trumas has a different approach. He says, we're concerned that the loiva is just not going to remember. And the loiva is a very honest person, and is being presented this document that says that he owes money, but he doesn't remember if he really owes the money. And he won't say parati when he doesn't know whatever happened. And therefore, because of that, Abaye said, to avoid any type of misunderstanding, just put your name on top and we won't come to this kind of situation. Ritva gives a different explanation why Abai is still concerned, even though the loiva has a right to say parati. The Ritva says that this person, this unscrupulous individual who inserted something over this person's signature, may include a clause which says that not only do I owe you money, but I agree to believe the malva against any claim he makes against me. That he includes in the shtar. So therefore, if that unscrupulous individual adds that clause, and the loiva is going to make all sorts of claims, ziyuf, parati, but he already, according to this bogus document, agreed upon that he will never make any counterclaims. And therefore, since he agreed that he won't make any, since that could happen, Abai saw no other option that it should be on top of the shtar. The Ramban says a very big chiddush. The Ramban says that even though he maybe can make these claims, but if these claims would not be acceptable in civil court, says the Ramban, they won't be acceptable in Beis Din either. And since he says in civil court, if there's a claim made against you, whatever claim made against you, you don't have the same latitude as you have in Beis Din, you lose that latitude in Beis Din as well. And therefore, if you can't say parati in civil court, you can't say parati in Beis Din. Which opens up another interesting discussion that I saw that the Chishuke Chemer has. And that is, somebody was going to buy a lottery ticket. And his friend, Reuven, was going to buy a lottery ticket. And Shimon and Reuven agree that Shimon will pay for half of the lottery ticket. And then, if it's a winning lottery ticket, obviously, they'll share the prize. And Reuven agreed. Shimon gave him the money. And Reuven goes and buys the lottery ticket. And that becomes, and it's a winning, and it ends up being a winning lottery ticket. So Shimon says, I own half of the lottery ticket. Since I own half of the lottery ticket, I should get half of the prize. Reuven says to him, no, we've been learning in Amos Sechtes that in order to become the owner of something, you have to do Mashiach. Kesef is not a legitimate way of doing, taking ownership of something. And therefore, I'll give you back your money, but you never became an owner of this lottery ticket because you didn't do a proper Mashiach, and Mashiach is the proper way to do a kinyan on Metaltlin. And the question now is, can the person who didn't do the Mashiach but did give Kesef say it was Chazal that instituted that Metaltlin have to have a Mashiach? They instituted that rule for the benefit of the buyer. The Gemara that we learned, Shloyim Nifsufu Chaticha Belia. And I'm not interested in Chazal's rule that on my behalf. And it's a big discussion. Adding a complication to that discussion is, even if we'll say that Metatlin, you could be kinder with Kesef, it could be that everybody would agree that a shtar, and the question is a lottery ticket considered a shtar, we can't purchase with Kesef. But what becomes an important part of this discussion is if in civil court you could say, I'm the owner of this, I'm a partner here, by having paid for half the ticket, it could well be that even Beis Din would have to recognize that position. We learned in the Mishnah, Arav Hayoytz Lach Achitim Shtaris, an Arav who is signed on the shtar after the signature of the Edom, could only go after the Nechasim B'nei Chayim of the Arav, not after the Nechasim Shabbatim. Amar Rav, Kodim Chitish Taras, but Arav that signed, that became a guarantor before the signature of the Edom, then Goyva, the Malva, has a right to go even after his Nechasim Shabbatim. Lach Achitim Shtaris, Goyver menachasim b'nei chayrim. However, says the Gemara, Zimnan amarav, afil kaidim chitu shtaris, even if the Erev is obligation is in the body of the shtar, ain a goyver el menachasim b'nei chayrim, could only collect from them the chasim b'nei chayrim. So ask the Gemara, kasha derav adarav. Here Rav says if the Erev appears in the document, then you can't go after his nechasim mishabadim. And here it says he can't. Answers the Gemara, loikasha. The way to reconcile the two statements of Rav, ha the kasabei ploini orif, if after the text of the shtar, where the loiva obligates to repay whatever he owns, the shtar says ploini orif, so it's considered a separate statement, and could be that the Edom that are testifying are only testifying on the basic loan, but not on the guarantor's obligation. However, if the way the shtar is written, the kosabei uplani arev with a vav, so that vav connects it into one text, and therefore when the Edom sign on the bottom, we understand that their Edom signing is on everything that it says in the shtar. It doesn't make a difference how the shtar is written. We only go after the nechosim nechayrim of the Arif. And even if it's clear that the Edom signed on the shtar, on the part that they did obligate, that he did make himself into Arif, that means the way the text of the shtar is written, so it's clear that the Edom is signing the entire obligation, including the Arif's obligation, it doesn't make a difference. With that part, you only can go after the nechosim b'nei chayrim of the Arif. Mas of Rava, the Brisa says, Edom chasum al shel shalom beget. Edom who are signed on a shtar, which is a divorce shtar, but also it says in the shtar, shalom b'shalom ploini. They say that you send regards to somebody. And from here to Rishonim say, we see that an get that has other information in it doesn't come disqualified. She'ilu, if it says she'ilu, send regards without the vav, possible. Because then we're concerned that the Edom signed only on that part of the document and not on the rest of the text. V'she'ilu, but if it says with a vav, kosher, because we look at it as one text and the Edom signed on the entire text. So ask the Gemara, why over here, if it says uplani arev, are you Rabbi Yochanan saying that the Edom are not signed on the guarantor's obligation as well? Hachanami says the Gemara, Rabbi Yochanan is going to say that indeed, the only time that the arev is not obligated from his mushabadim is if it doesn't say that uplani arev. And says the Gemara, asked the Gemara, so that's exactly what Rav said. Rav made that distinction between where it says Ploni Arev or Uploni Arev. So what's the difference between what Rabbi Yochanan said and Rav said? Says the Gemara, indeed. Ema v'chein amar Rabbi Yochanan. The way to learn the Gemara is not that Rabbi Yochanan and Rav are disagreeing, they're actually agreeing. Says the Gemara, Maisa Baal Fnei Rabbi Shmuel. There was a story that was brought to Rabbi Shmuel that and Rabbi Shmuel said that we collect from the nechosim nechayrim. And Banana said, "Ein agay v'loim nechosim shabada v'loim nechosim nechayrim." V'ramer Rabbi Shmuel. So Rabbi Shmuel said, "Haroitz shiachkim. If somebody wants to be a talmud chacham, yask v'dinim mamnis. He shall learn nezikin. She'elam k'sam k'tayr yois mehen. There's no part of the Torah which is greater than them. They're like a mine and a ayve, as we explained in our previous year, a spring that keeps on giving forth. Says the Gemara, Amar Rabbi Babachan Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Av Pisha Kilos Rabbi Shmuel's bananas. Even though Rabbi Shmuel was praising bananas, the loch is not like bananas, the loch is Kan Moisoi, that Orav Hayotzad, if the Orav is signed after the signature of the Edom, that Benana says we don't go after the Arav at all, but rather the Halach is like Rabbi Shmuel, we don't go after the Nechosim Mishbodim of the Arav, but we go after the Nechosim Bnei Chayrim. And the way I saw the Inyakov explains the Gemara, what we're learning from here is that there's two concepts in learning Torah. There's the halacha, and there's learning how to learn. He said that I don't agree with Rabbi Shmuel. I don't agree with Ben Annes. The halacha is not like Ben Annes. But even though the halacha is not like Ben Annes, what that means is that we don't pasken like Ben Annes. But that doesn't take away from the greatness of Ben Annes, and that Ben Annes was a tremendous Talmud Chacham, and that he was the right person from whom to learn Seder Nezikin. And the Mishnah said that Ben Annes proved this point, that if somebody agreed to become an Orev just because he saw the difficult situation that the Loiva found himself in, it says, Ben Annes, that person who was just trying to help somebody else should not be held financially responsible. Says the Gemara, Iboilu, asked the Gemara, indeed, in a situation of Chonuk, in a situation where the Loiva is under tremendous pressure, and because of that pressure, this individual agreed to be an Orev. Mali Omer Rabbi Shmuel, what will Rabbi Shmuel hold in such a situation? Will the person be considered responsible, or will he agree to Ben Annes that under those circumstances this person should not be held responsible? Toshma, Domer Rabbi Yaakov, Omer Rabbi Yochanan, Cholakar Rabbi Shmuel, Apachonet. Rabbi Shmuel says that somebody who took himself be an Orev, the halacha is that Ben Rishmal says that he is considered an Orev and he's going to be held responsible. However, I did see that the Yad Ramah says that since this was an Arvis, this was a situation of a guarantor that he took upon himself under duress, for him to be considered an Orev, here a Kinyan would be required. Ask the Gemara, what is the Halacha? Halacha Kamaisai, if somebody accepted to be an Orev because of this pressure, Rabbi Shmuel says he's still considered an Orev. Do we pass him like Rabbi Shmuel or ain't halacha k'maysoi? Toshma, the chiyosa Ravin, when Ravin came to Tzrol, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, cholak Rabbi Shmuel apachonik. Rabbi Shmuel holds that even under those circumstances, he's considered a guarantor, the halacha k'maysoi b'chonik, and that is the halacha. Amar Rabbi Yehuda Mishmuel, chonik, somebody who's an Orev, in a case like we just learned, that he accepted upon himself to be an Orev because of the pressure that's being exerted on the loiva, the konam yoda, as we just said, and there was a kinyan, then mishtabit. Mechlal, so says the Gemara, what does this seem to teach us? That in this unique circumstance, where the Orev accepted upon himself to be the Orev, because the pressure, we only take that arvis seriously because he made a kinyan. Mechlal, doesn't that seem to indicate? Dara ba'alma, when somebody takes upon himself to be an Orev, without where it's not that type of pressure, just somebody agrees to be a guarantor, loy by a kinyan, that becomes an obligation even without a kinyan. And says the Gemara, that opinion, upliga de Rav Nachman, is in disagreement with what Rav Nachman said. Don Rav Nachman, Orev de Bezdin, somebody who becomes an Orev through Bezdin. That means Bezdin wants to help the loyva get money, and says to somebody, I'll be an Orev, loy by kinyan. There, since it was in Bezdin, though kinyan is required. Haba Alma, under other circumstances, by kinyan. And I saw Rav Shmuel Ravzovsky explains, why is it different in Bezdin versus outside of Bezdin? So he explains, as we have spoken about many times in our shiurim, what is the principle behind kinyan? The principle behind kinyan is seriousness of intent. And when something takes place in Bezdin, that represents a seriousness, and therefore a kinyan is not required. Others I saw explain that the fact that this person was appointed by Bezdin to be an Orev, that covered makes it serious. If an Orev who became an Orev as the loan was being made, loy by kinyan, doesn't require kinyan. He's an Orev even without a kinyan. Lachamat mos, but somebody becomes an Orev only later by kinyan, a kinyan is required. Furthermore, Orev the Bezdin loy by kinyan, the behi amna the mehemnalei, the fact that he is being appointed by Bezdin, gomer umeshabe nafshe. So as we finish Be'ezer Hashem Yisborach, Masechta Bava Basra, as we've mentioned previously, that Masechta Bava Basra has 176 dafim. Compare, just like Parshas Nosoi, the longest parsha in the Torah, has 176 psukim. And that makes Masechta Bava Basra the longest Masechta. But there are those that actually suggest that it's even longer. They suggest that Baba Kama, Baba Metzia, and Baba Basra are really all one Masechta. And as we learned in Masechta Baba Kama, Daf Kuf Beis Amud Aleph, this has actually ramifications for the halacha. Because the halacha is that if we have in one Masechta a machloikus, a Mishnah that represents a machloikus, Vachkach Stam, and then there's a Stam Mishnah, the halacha is Kastam, we follow the Stam Mishnah. But that's only in one Masechta, not in two Masechtas. So if we consider Baba Kama, Baba Metzia, Baba Masra as one Masechta, so if we'll have a Machlokes, let's say, Masechta, Baba Kama, and then in Baba Basra we'll have a Stam Mishnah, there'll be a situation of Machlokes, Vachkach Stam, and we'll Paskin like that Stam Mishnah. But if they're not considered like one Masechta, then it wouldn't be considered a situation of Machlokes, Vachkach Stam. So as we said, there's some that consider Baba Kama, Baba Metzia, Baba Basra one Masechta, and some actually, as we begin, Be'ezer Hashem Yisborach, the Yerushalmi says that Sanhedrin and Makkos are one Masechta as well. And that's part of understanding the order of the Masechtas in Seder Nezikim. If we combine Baba Kama, Baba Metzia, and Baba Basra, we have 30 Prakim. If we combine Sanhedrin and Makkos, we have 14 Prakim. Shavuos has 8 Prakim. Idyos has 8 Prakim. Avodah Zarah has 5 prokim, and Avos has 5 prokim. The 6th perik is really just a brisa, and Horius has 3 prokim. And therefore, the order that the Masechtas were written in Masechta, in the Zikim, were established according to the length of the Masechta. And these three babas are the longest, and then Sedrin and Sanhedrin Makkos. We have just learned that as we finish learning Masechta Baba Basra, and as we just mentioned before, that learning Dinei Mamonos is considered kamayon. It's like considering a spring that gives forth. And I saw the Mefarshim explain, and it's so appropriate to say this, when we finish learning the Babas, when we finish learning Masechta Baba Basra, when one learns Masechta Baba Basra, one could think that he's learning the law. What's the law if two people have a dispute or so many different issues that we came up in our Masechta trying to understand what words mean, what clauses of a contract mean? But we would consider this to be just a law book. But teaches us the Gemara that we are not to look at Masechta Baba Basra as just a sefer of law. And what's the raya that's supposed to be our attitude to learning these Masechtas? The raya that's supposed to be our attitude to learning this Masechta is from what we just discussed before. Rabbi Shmuel and Bananas disagree. And the Gemara says that the halacha is like Rabbi Shmuel. Yet Rabbi Shmuel tells everybody to learn Baba Basra by Bananas. If it's a rule book, so we should learn from the person who knows the rules best. If we don't look at it as a book of law, and we look at it as Chochmas HaTorah, so we have to go to the Rebbe who could give us the greatest Chochmas HaTorah. And that's Bananas, even if the halacha doesn't follow Bananas. And that's the way we're supposed to look at Torah. Learning Torah is not just telling us, of course, what we're supposed to do, what we're not supposed to do, or how we're supposed to react to certain halachic situations. The Torah is the Chochmas Hashem. And therefore, we have to find a way to incorporate that Chochmas Hashem into our lives. The Gemara, in the Mishnah Masechta Kelim, has a very strong statement. Ashrecha Kelim. Masechta Kelim begins Shenichnasta B'Tuma, begins about speaking about Tuma, V'yotza B'Tahara. But then it goes on to speak about Kelim that are Tahar. When we look at Masechta Baba Basra, That's the exact same way we should look at the Masechta Bava Basra. The Masechta begins, Hashutfim Shecholku. The Masechta begins speaking about people who are disagreeing, people who Shecholku, people who want to separate from each other. Speaking about division, speaking about, as we recall, Hezekriah, people who are possibly doing damage to each other. But what does the Masechta end with? The Masechta, as we just finished learning, speaks about the halacha of Orev, a guarantor. We begin the Masechta, and we aren't yet on the Madrega that we should be on. We're on a Madrega of people who are disagreeing, people who are maybe causing damage to each other. But as we spend so many days and weeks and months learning Masechta Bava Basra, Masechta Bava Basra doesn't just teach us so many halachas that we, Baruch Hashem, learned in this Masechta, Halchas Chazaka and Hilchas Yerusha. But it all culminates by teaching us Hilchas Arev, that we're all connected to each other, that we're all here to help each other, because that's what Torah does to us. Torah makes us better. Torah makes us individuals who one of us cares for the other. When one sees chanuk, that somebody else is being pressured, he stands up and he says, I'm ready to help. Become better people. We become chachamim, we become talmidei chachamim, as we discussed in our previous year, that ultimately leads us to kachim, to kedusha in our lives. It ultimately leads us from kachim into taharis to tahar in our life. Those of us who have the schus of learning HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Heilige Torah, it isn't just the Torah that we're learning, and it isn't just what the halach is that we're learning. We're learning to become better people, to become people that are closer to Hashem. And by that schus that we end up learning Masechta Bava Basra and learning all the Masechtas that we learn, we become better people, Beit Adam L'Chaveroi, and we become better people and we become closer to Hashem and Beit Adam L'Makom. Ultimately, that will bring us, that all of Klal Yisrael will be able to have Achtus under the banner of Avodas Hashem, Yirah Shemayim, and Limud HaTorah. Hanu Lach Get Poshut, V'Slik Lach Masechta Bava Basra.